Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's going to take the next few minutes to share some great words of hope, insight, humor, and relevance. In today's lost and searching world, that's something everyone desperately needs to hear. Speaking of that, we'd love to keep this conversation going with you anytime through our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, there's so many ways to connect with us from there that you really need to check it out for yourself, richardellistalks.com. But right now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Because I Said So. This little list, things I found here, things I learned from my mother. My mother taught me to appreciate a job well done. If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning. My mother taught me about humor. When that lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. It's one of my favorites. My mother taught me how to be an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. And then last but not least, my mother taught me about logic. Because I said so, that's why. I found one guy's commentary on this. He said, when parents say, because I said so, you know you've made a good argument. All right, let me start kind of with parents. One of the only places that because I said so works is at home with children. It makes for a pretty tough answer when dealing with adults. Because I said so is usually the answer given when the question why is asked, usually when why is asked one too many times. We might be too lazy to take the time to give an adequate explanation. We play some kind of authoritarian power play, or the child is not at a place to understand the answer, even if we explained it. So we say, because I said so. Now, let me try to say out loud what I'm going to try to say today, and then we'll see if I'm successful actually saying it. I had a conversation the other day with a brilliant guy. Grew up in church, struggles with some depression issues, but just way crazy smart. And in the conversation, part of what came out of that conversation is this message, because he described going into churches and going into gatherings of Christian people, spiritual people. And what you cannot do too many times is ask why. You walk in, they present some type of thesis of some kind, put out some kind of truth that they believe is true, and if you counter that, you are seen as a troublemaker, right? Because we are right, and if you don't agree with us, you are wrong. And sometimes we are so right that a lot of people get left, because they have no way to approach. And sometimes arrogance and ignorance go hand in hand, because we have enough truth to stand on, but if someone were to question us, they might take us out. My kids in their school, the luxury of going to a Christian school, part of what they do is almost run drills and conversations and combative almost conversations where they interaction, where they're trying to teach these kids before they go off to college, especially not what they believe, but why they believe it. Because you can say all day long what you believe, but all someone has to do is say, why do you believe that? And if you don't have an answer to the why, now you're in trouble. So we almost stiff arm people religiously to keep them away from our questions. Now, this is kind of for the group that's in this room, and it's for people outside of this room, and for people who are in this room who are Christians, and for people in this room and beyond here who are not believers. It may be that you are genuinely searching after God. You are trying to figure life out. And part of the problem in getting to Jesus is getting over his people. And it is so difficult to get through Christians sometimes to even get to Jesus that you just almost give up. There are stories in the Bible where little kids are coming to Jesus and the disciples are blocking him. He says, no, let the kids come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. That's what I'm after. I want people, not childish people, but people with a childlike faith to approach, because he is approachable. And if you are a Christian and you're going to be an effective Christian, you personally, we collectively have to be approachable. And so someone can walk in and they can ask crazy questions. Now, there were also religious people in the Bible and some crazies in the Bible who came with questions. They really didn't want answers. They were just antagonistic. You've got to be wise enough to know which is which. But sometimes people who appear to be antagonistic, who appear to be angry, confront us with their questions and we go, oh, you can't ask that question. And they say, well, why? Because I said so. And preachers shut people down. I've been processing this thinking, how many years have I gotten? And I think I'm doing the right thing. I think I'm giving, you know, a wide berth for people. But I get into these conversations and I'm jumping on them too fast. I'm shutting people down too quickly because they are fragile in some ways. They're coming in going, look, I got nothing. And what I thought was going to work is not working. And I'm coming to get your help. Will you gently help me? And we go, you're going to hell. Okay, like I already feel like that, dude. You don't have to wag your finger and tell me that. I feel like I'm going to hell. I feel like my life already is hell. Can you help me? And then because of my abruptness or arrogance or whatever it is I exude, they just go, you know what? Sorry I asked, I'm out. Now let me take you to Genesis chapter 1. Because I said so. Now, part of my issue here is that people, if you're going to trust God's word, you have to kind of trust him. I'm not going to give you keys to my house and my car and my life unless I trust you. Or someone I really trust you, then I might kind of make an allowance and say, okay, well, I'm trusting what you're saying. I'll give them the keys. So when someone comes along and says, I'm going to give God my life, that's scary stuff. And you say, well, I'm just going to let God run my life and do everything. If you don't trust God, I did not trust God for a long time because I thought he was angry, harsh, going to just bust my chops. So when someone finally helped me understand, a bunch of people, but a couple in particular said, look, that's not what the Bible says. That's not, you've made him out to be someone other than he is. You can trust him. If you can trust him, then you start thinking you can trust his word. And even if he ends up, which is where we're going to end up, even if God himself looks at you and you ask a question and his answer is, because I said so, at some point that has to be okay. Okay, so let me read these. Genesis chapter 1, the way my brain works, this is creation, okay? I'm not going to read all of this. What do I jump over here? He makes a bunch of stuff. Verse 5. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And this phrase starts showing up, it was so. So God, like, this is what's so, you've got to understand who you're dealing with. You're dealing with a God who can say words and universes appear. So when God gives you his words, and you believe his words, those are powerful things. So if you come to God and people say, well, okay, I got questions about God. If I am worth anything in terms of the job, I'm gonna take you back to his words. It doesn't matter what I think. So you say, well, I don't understand the Bible. I don't wanna hear the Bible. I get that. But the reason I read so much scripture is ultimately that is what you're gonna have to get. Because you have to land on some foundation. You have to find out what is true. You say, well, I don't need the Bible. Yeah, I gotta be careful how I say this. Just hear me out on this. You can get saved without the Bible. Because even if you could be born and die and never see a Bible, but you can't get saved without Jesus. Okay, so we don't worship this book. It's just that if you have access to the directions, then read the directions, right? Now, I'm one of these people that I don't like reading the directions first. I've told you my story about the model airplane. You know, I got the model car, I think it was when I was a kid, and I just busted all the pieces off and glued the outside, put the stickers on it, go, I'm done. And I look and I had this big pile of pieces. Like, what do I do with these? And I find out that's what was supposed to go inside the car I already glued together. So it was too late. I didn't read the directions because I was impatient. If you ask questions and you ask questions of godly people who are really wanting to help you, I'm just telling you, if you're one of these people searching, they're going to take you to scripture or you're just going to be kind of floundering. Because you say, well, I want to know what they think. That's okay, but you've got to know at some point what God has said. You say, well, now my question is, I don't know if I believe that's what God said. Okay, that is a great comment, right? How many people have that question? A ton of people. I even sometimes look at it and go, are you really? You know, now I'm hearing their questions and I got questions. It's okay to have questions. And sometimes the best answer you could possibly give to a question that you don't have the answer to is, I don't know. Do you know what people in the world are dying to hear Christians say at some point? I don't know. And the arrogance that we come off with is they ask a question and we just start moving our mouth. Well, God said, and boom, boom, boom. And you know, it's seamless. There's no margin for it. We've got it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. And I will read you some verses in a minute to back that up biblically. You will never have it all figured out. You will not have every answer to every question you or anybody else has. So when they come along and say, hey, what do you think about that? I say, wow, that's a great question. I don't know either. And they go, really? You don't know? No, I don't know. Wow, I could maybe get into that kind of process because I don't know anything. So it's possible to be in the game. I mean, how many people get married and don't have a clue what they're doing? Everybody. You know, I read a bunch of books. I went through premarital counseling. You know nothing. You've never been married to a woman before. I'm getting to the other one. You've never been married to a man before. You had no idea. I mean, when I got married, it was pantyhose. I had no idea. That was not in anybody's budget. No one tells you how much pantyhose are going to cost you. I could go on way down that list. Okay, go back to Genesis 1. It was so. Look at verse 8. God called the firmament heaven, so the evening and the morning were the second day. Then look at verse 9. It's simple words. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Because God said, it was so. Verse 11, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herbs that yield seed, the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. Verse 14, then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. What kind of God is this that you're dealing with that can speak galaxies into existence? That's who you're dealing with. Verse 24, then God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. When God says something, it's so. It happens. You can trust him. Now, I get that this, it just takes time sometimes. And maybe I just need to say this out loud. If you're going to come here, I'm making a commitment on behalf of us that we will be patient with you. We are going to be more patient if we haven't been patient enough. And if you have questions, you have to say them out loud. If you go to a small group Bible study that we offer and you have a question, ask the question. Now, if your intent is to take over the whole thing, someone may shut you down. If you're not there for like really asking questions, we can't hijack a group. But if you're genuinely searching, ask the questions. And if you're in a group like that and someone asks the question, then be okay with that. And maybe say out loud, wow, that's a great question. That was one of my first questions when I started searching after God. And I still have a lot of questions, but wow, that's great. Then everybody takes a deep breath and goes, oh, it's going to be okay. You know, it's like going into the emergency room and the doctor said, well, what's wrong with you? You're like, I don't know. That's why I'm here. Well, I feel bad. Well, what's wrong with you? Like I already told you, I don't know. You're supposed to tell me what's wrong with me. I don't know. You should tell us. Come back when you know what's wrong with you. Like, well, what's wrong with this picture? You're the person supposed to know. You're supposed to be taking care of me. They don't know what's wrong with them. They just know something's wrong. And they've made it to you. What a dangerous, catastrophic, potentially thing that someone makes it to me. Then you say, well, all the responsibility's on me. No, I've never saved anyone. But I have to be a great representative or they're going to be in trouble a little bit. You say, well, I'm having a bad day. Let me tell you something about your bad days. You got to find a way to turn your bad days into good days because somebody's life may be at stake. You say, well, their life sucks and my life sucks. Well, you know what? Why don't you just start there? If that's what's really going on, so someone comes to you and says, man, I got a lot of questions. Say, you know what? I'm like a Christian and I still got questions. And by the way, today really sucks. And if you hook up with my God, all your problems aren't going to go away. You're not going to be rich. Your kids aren't always going to behave. But I got nowhere to go, and I'm trusting him anyway. So let's talk about your questions. And the person goes, dude, like, that's real. Like, yeah, that's real. So let's talk about that. Instead of, God bless you, sir. I can't be on a God bless you, sir deal all day long. I don't feel that way all the time. I don't go around blessing people all the time. God bless you, sir. You're like animatronic Christian. Like, you know, just, you just spit it out like there's, you never have a problem. Okay, we got through Genesis 1. No, we didn't. There was one more, 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, that to you it shall be for food. Also every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Go to Isaiah 45. I will run out of verses soon. There is hope. Isaiah 45. Turn over there, a few pages to the right. And let's jump in at verse 9. Now, this is a swing way, and by the way, I'm trying to help you see there's a point where you can ask why, but at some point you're gonna have to be okay with, because I said so, okay? Now, this may frustrate some people. Even in a home where the parent is trying to answer the questions of a child, it is possible that the child, given the explanation, will still not understand what's going on. And so the answer really is, because I said so. Does everybody get that? So you've been frustrated as a child with that, but you don't have an option with your parents. You just kind of have to say, okay, well, there's nothing I can do. I just got to go with that. That's what they said. The same thing is true with God. Look at Isaiah 45, verse 9. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who forms it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or of the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, you command me. It is possible to push this thing too far and get yourself into some trouble. A similar thing is stated over in Romans chapter 9, verse 20. He says, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? At some point, you are not going to understand. So let me help you if you're seeking. And maybe if you're a Christian, you're in this process. You say, well, I want answers. You are not going to have all the answers in this life. It is not going to happen. Period. You can search and search and search. There are some things you will never see, you will never get. They are a mystery. It's not going to happen here. So at some point, you have to say, okay, God, I'm okay with that. And if you say it, whether I get it or not, if you say so, I'll go with that. You say, well, I can't do that. Then you're going to have a hard time being in a relationship with this God. Now, let me read you Isaiah. Go back over to Isaiah 55, verse 6 and following. And it's interesting what's combined here, even in this passage. He says, Isaiah says here, seek the Lord while he may be found. So if you're seeking for him, then seek him while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And then look at what he says next. For, this is God speaking, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. You are not going to be equal with God. You're not going to know what he thinks. You're not going to know what he's doing all the time. You just have to trust him. Now, part of what I'm saying today is you know that that's true if you've been living the Christian life any amount of time, but people who are seeking after God, who are become new Christians, you have to allow them the same process that someone allowed you or not. And understand they are going to have questions. And you can't just say, well, I heard a sermon on this. You need to stop asking questions and just trust him. That's it. You didn't do that yourself. Why are you imposing that on them? So give them some room. Process it with them. Let them be a kid spiritually. Let them grow up and get to that place like, wow, we're not going to know, are we? Like, no. Not till we get there. And I'll read you a verse on that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want you to see this. If you've read this, if you've seen it at a wedding or something, you may have heard this about the love chapter. This something is buried inside this chapter that is so very fascinating to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. Paul says here, for now we see in a mirror dimly, or in a glass darkly, the King James Version says, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as also I am known. My personal belief, I'm open to being challenged on this. People say, well, when you die, you get to heaven and you'll walk around and meet people and hi, how are you? I'm Richard. And, you know, ask a lot of questions. I don't think you ask a lot of questions. It says right here, what does it say? Now I know in part, right? I don't know everything. But then I shall know just as also I am known. How am I known? How are you known? Completely. So if you get there, you're going to know completely. I did a message years ago called, oh, and I believe you drop dead. If you're a Christian and there's this cosmic, that's what it was. I also did one called oops, and that's what you say if you're not a Christian. Cosmic oops on the other side. Like, wow, that's what it was really about. I was at lunch with a guy the other day, and there was a glass, kind of a thick bottom glass, and I handed it to him. I said, now look at me through the bottom of this glass, like the bottom of a Coke bottle. I said, can you see me? He's like, yeah, kind of. I said, so you know I'm here, and you can kind of make out that I'm here. I said, that's what life looks like spiritually. Because see, in the physical realm, I look with my eyes and I see everybody here. I see you, so this must be real. But in the spiritual realm, I can't see everything like I see everything physically. So I have to take a lot of stuff by faith. I just have to believe that he is there, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seeking. I have to believe his word and trust him even when I can't explain it. So if you say, okay, well, I'm in, I'm chasing after God, I'm trying to find him, I'm trying to believe, if you find him, which if you search for him, I'm telling you, he can be found because he's looking for you way before you started looking for him. And if you're looking for him, it's because he was looking for you. Well, that's one of those things may hardly understand too. But anyhow, he's been after you way longer than you've been after him. He kind of woos you to himself. But even if you enter into a relationship with this Jesus, you are going to have a lot more questions. And you're going to process the questions, and then one day, somewhere down the road, you'll go, God, I don't know. He says, I know that. And like, I'm not going to know, am I? He goes, no, you're not going to know. But why is this? He said, because I said so. And you'll go, okay, I can live with that. Now, I haven't even started to give you the list of things that people ask. But you know your own questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do tornadoes appear to get aimed almost in the exact same swath over and over and over when there's wide open spaces and fields where nothing but wheat's going to get harvested? You ever have any of those questions? Why do little kids die? Why do babies get killed by their parents? You know, you can go on and on and on. You know what? I don't know. I don't get it either. But my ways are not his ways. You say, well, this is some evil God. No, you can't go there because you go there, you'll never make it. How can I be sure that God loves me? How can you know that? Because he said so. How do you know God has a plan for your life? Because he said so. How do you know he's going to take care of me? Because he said so. You say, well, where do you get all these answers? Where he said so.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out. RichardEllisTalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
You say, yeah, but I don't believe the Bible. And here's one of the big ones. I think the Bible was just written by a bunch of men. You're exactly right. With a lot of help. You say, well, I don't think God could write such important stuff through people. Then how in the world is he going to use you? That's the plan. That's the deal. He set it up where he uses us. And then I used to kind of almost smugly say this, do you believe God created the heavens and the earth? They'd say, yes. I'd say, well, don't you think he could get a book written? I'm not as sarcastic with that comment anymore. That is the truth, but I am trying to soften even my little smart aleck quips. Don't argue with people. Have conversations with people. And you'd be amazed how many more people find him if you were approachable. There was something about Jesus that people were drawn to him. And if I know him and am walking with him, there's going to be something about me that people are drawn to me in the way that I interact with them, talk to them, handle them, whatever I'm doing, humble myself and realize they're in process, just like me, had the same questions I had. And I got to slow down, even if the answer is because I said so.
You've been listening to Richard Ellis Talks. We really appreciate that you've spent this time with us, but we want to keep the conversation going with you. A couple of ways you can connect with us is by giving us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. That's 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is through our website, richardellistalks.com. You can email us, sign up to get the daily talk sent to your phone each day, right on the prayer wall where we can pray for you, or even stay in touch through our Facebook page at Talk with Richard. We love bringing you the program every day, but it means even more to us when you let us know how the program has helped you. So call 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, if you enjoy the program, let us know by your generous support. It would really mean a lot to us. richardellistalks.com. So until next time, have a great day, and thank you for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.